science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I want to talk about Einstein's theory of relativity. Now, most of us will have heard of relativity. Some of us will even think that we understand it. I'm not sure that I did, and I'm not even sure that I still do understand it entirely. But it's definitely one of the most important equations of all time, and theorems of all time as well. And I thought it was worth us taking a more in-depth look at what relativity actually is, how it came to be, and its impact not only on the scientific community, but as most people won't even suspect, but even on your day-to-day life. And we'll go into more detail about how it's doing that later in this episode. So let's explain a little bit of the context and background to relativity to get us started, shall we? So there are two types of relativity that Einstein put forward. Initially put forward special relativity, which was introduced in 1905, and that focused on the physics of moving bodies and the speed of light. And then general relativity was introduced in 1915, and that expanded the theory to include gravity as a curvature of space-time. And there's some key concepts within relativity which we need to get our heads around. The first is that the speed of light is a constant. The second is time dilation and length contraction is a normal part of relativity. And E equals mc squared is the equation that came out of the whole idea of relativity. In other words, there's a mass-energy equivalence. And from that equation, it's what led Oppenheimer and the others to develop the atomic bomb in the 40s. So let's go a little bit back. Let's step a little bit back then, and we'll go back to what we started with, which is special relativity in 1905. Now, at the turn of the 20th century, physics was at a crossroads with inconsistencies between the Newtonian mechanics and the electromagnetic theory. Einstein's special relativity addressed these inconsistencies by introducing a new framework for understanding space and time. Einstein's paper on the electrodynamics of moving bodies was published in 1905, and it was a year that's often referred to as his Annus Mirabilis, or the miracle year, during which he published four groundbreaking papers. And the concept of the speed of light being a cosmic limiter came as a foundational element in Einstein's formulation of special relativity. And it was his groundbreaking work in understanding the nature of light and what it actually meant for universal mechanics, basically, that really laid the foundational work for relativity. But we need to understand how it all unfolded. So, constancy of the speed of light. Before Einstein formulated special relativity, the idea that the speed of light is constant and independent of the motion of the source or observer was already suggested by Maxwell's equations of electromagnetism and the Michelson-Morley experiment, which hinted that the speed of light is a universal constant. Einstein's insight, however, in 1905 took this concept further by proposing that the laws of physics, including the speed of light, are the same for all observers, regardless of their relative motion. This was a radical departure from the classical Newtonian mechanics that assumed that time and space were absolute and independent of the observer. So Building on the constancy of the speed of light, Einstein formulated the theory of special relativity, and this theory introduced the ideas of time dilation and length contraction, fundamentally altering our understanding of space and time. So in essence, the realization that the speed of light is the cosmic limiter was integral to the development of special relativity. It wasn't that one came before the other, rather the constancy of the speed of light was a key postulate that led Einstein to develop the theory of special relativity. Now, we need to look at this idea about light in more detail, therefore, because light is a cosmic speed limit. It's said that Einstein came up with the concept of light being this cosmic limiter by asking himself just five questions when, bored at work, he looked at the clock to see what time it was. And as he answered that question to himself, he paused and asked, "How do I know what time it is?" This contemplation of the nature of light and time is a fascinating one. While there's no definitive record of the exact questions he asked himself, we can infer the types of questions and thought processes he might have engaged in based on his work and writings. So here's a possible reconstruction of the questions and his thought process. He said, "How do I know what time it is?" And his initial response to himself was, "Well, I see that the hands on the clock are pointing to, let's say, midday." So then he asked, "Well, how do I see that the hands are at midday?" And he said, "It's because light reflects off the light, off the clock, and into my eyes." And that's when he started to actually develop his questions. And he asked himself, "So what is the nature, therefore, of light?" And he answered something along the lines of, "Light is an electromagnetic wave that travels at the constant speed in a vacuum, regardless of the motion of the source or observer." And it's that constancy of the speed of light which is a fundamental postulate of special relativity. So then he took it a stage further, and how does time work in relation to light? And so his answer probably would have gone somewhere along the lines of, "Time is not absolute but relative, depending on the observer's frame of reference. This means that time can dilate or contract relative to the speed at which an observer is moving compared to the speed of light." Now this is where it gets really interesting, because he did ask himself this question: "What would happen if I travelled alongside a beam of light?" So his answers came along the lines of, "If you could travel at the speed of light from your perspective, time would stand still." Now this thought experiment led Einstein to realise that the speed of light is the ultimate speed limit in the universe, and nothing with mass can reach or exceed it. So then he asked himself another question along the lines of, "How does motion affect the perception of time and space?" And so his answer became something along the lines of, "Motion affects the measurement of time and space. As one approaches the speed of light, time slows down, time dilation, and lengths contract in the direction of motion, length contraction." So how do these ideas reconcile with the existing laws of physics? And this is where Einstein took a bolder step. He concluded that the laws of physics are the same for all observers, regardless of their relative motion. This led to the formation of the theory of special relativity, which reconciles classical mechanics with Maxwell's and others' electromagnetic theory. Now, these questions and answers reflected Einstein's revolutionary approach to understanding the universe. By questioning the fundamental nature of light and time, he was therefore able to develop a new framework that transformed physics and our understanding of reality. This was a real kind of revolutionary concept that he put forward. His insights into the constancy of the speed of light and the relativity of time and space were pivotal in shaping modern physics. Now, the basics of special relativity are as follows. It was, as we've said, developed in 1905 by Albert Einstein, and it revolutionized our understanding, as we've said, of space and time. And the theory is based on two postulates. One, the laws of physics are the same for all observers in uniform motion relative to one another, and that is the principle of relativity. 2, the speed of light in a vacuum is constant and will be the same for all observers regardless of their motion or the motion of the light source. This is where people's brains start to fry, because The speed of light is the speed of light. And even if you're traveling at nearly the speed of light, you will still see light traveling at the speed of light. Does that make sense? So to explain this, let's imagine you're in a car that can travel at the speed of light. It's impossible, but let's just imagine that it is. So you are traveling at the speed of light, but you're heading into a really dark patch of the universe. So you put your headlamps on. Now, you would expect if you were traveling at the speed of light, then you wouldn't actually see light because you're traveling at the speed of light. You are the end of that light beam that's shooting through the universe. But no, light dashes away from you at the speed of light. It doesn't break the speed of light, it's just that it's all relative to the motion of the observer. And this is where it starts to get a little woo-woo and people's heads start to fry. But if you picture it in those terms, then you start to see that, as we've said, it's a cosmic limiter indeed, because nothing can go faster than the speed of light. But the speed of light is a constant that is relative to the motion of the observer. So that means we've introduced some key concepts there. So time dilation, time moves slower for an object in motion compared to an object at rest. This means if you were travelling a significant fraction of the speed of light, you would age more slowly compared to someone who stayed on Earth. Now, I mentioned this in our time travel experiment, thought experiment that I did a few weeks ago. Go back and check that episode and you'll see what I mean. But basically, you would not age at the same speed or the same rate that people left behind on Earth would. It's crazy, I know, but that's one of the constructs that comes out of the theory of relativity. Also, length contraction occurs, so objects moving at high speeds will appear shorter in the direction of motion to an outside observer. Simultaneity comes out of that, which means that events that appear simultaneous to one observer may not be simultaneous to another depending on their relative motion. And then the other big idea that came out of all this, of course, was the famous E equals mc squared equation, or the mass energy equivalence equation. We're going to be doing an episode on E equals mc squared in its own right in a future episode here on ThinkWorks, but it's the most famous equation in physics. Even non-scientific people or people who have no interest in science will know the equation. They may not know what it means, but they will know of E equals mc squared. And it was derived from special relativity. It indicates that mass and energy are interchangeable. A small amount of mass can be converted into a large amount of energy and vice versa. And this is where the whole idea of atomic bombs and atomic processes came from. And this principle laid the groundwork, as I've just said, for understanding these nuclear reactions, including those in stars in the universe, and then later in nuclear plants here on Earth. Before special relativity, Newtonian physics was the dominant framework for understanding motion and gravity, and Einstein's theory showed that Newton's laws were only approximations that worked well at low speeds and weak gravitational fields. Special relativity, therefore, provided a more accurate description of the universe, particularly at speeds close to the speed of light. It's a cornerstone of modern physics. It influenced the development of quantum mechanics, of course, and also then later for Einstein general relativity, which we'll come to in a few minutes. And it helped physicists understand the behavior of particles and accelerators and the fundamental forces of nature. Real life applications of relativity come in the form of GPS. So GPS rely on corrections from both special and general relativity to provide accurate positioning data, and special relativity also plays a role in the design of particle accelerators and its understanding, our understanding of the behavior of subatomic particles, particularly traveling at speed. So special relativity was a monumental step forward in physics, fundamentally altering our understanding of time, space, and energy. It paved the way for new technologies and deeper insights into the workings of the universe, demonstrating the profound interconnectedness of space and time. Now, that was just special relativity. Later came general relativity, which we'll talk about next. Now, general relativity was his paper that he put forward in 1915, and it was developed. It took a decade after special relativity, and it emerged in a period of intense scientific exploration and debate about the nature of gravity and the universe. And he first presented his field equations of general relativity to the Prussian Academy of Sciences in 1915. Culminating years of work and collaboration with mathematicians like Marcel Grossman. You have to understand that Einstein was not a great mathematician, and he worked really hard to get his theories converted into mathematical equations by working with some of the world's leading mathematicians. Now, it did build on special relativity, because while special relativity dealt with the physics of objects moving at constant speeds, or inertial frames, general relativity extended these principles to include acceleration and gravity. It redefined gravity not as a force, as Newton had described, but as a curvature of space-time caused by mass. So if you imagine you have got a felt sheet, and it's not on a pool table, you've actually just stuck it on four posts that you've knocked into the ground. So it's stretched out on these four posts, and there's nothing underneath it. If you take a cricket ball and put the cricket ball on that felt surface, it will depress. And then if you get some smaller objects like marbles, for example, and you spin them around, they will go around the curvature in the cloth that you have got stretched out. And that is how gravity works. It's not a force as such, as Newtonian physics would have it. It was because the space-time was curved around a more massive object. So key concepts, therefore, are space-time curvature. Massive objects like stars and planets cause the fabric of space-time to curve, and this is what we perceive as gravity. Geodesics come out of relativity, general relativity. So objects follow paths called geodesics, which are the shortest paths in curved space-time. This explains why planets orbit stars and why light bends around massive objects and doesn't escape the likes of a black hole. You've got the equivalence principle as well, is a key concept of general relativity, and that stated that local observations made in an accelerating reference frame are indistinguishable from those made in a gravitational field. This principle was a cornerstone in developing general relativity. And the differences from special relativity are as follows. General relativity included gravity. Special relativity does not account for gravity, whereas general relativity provided that comprehensive framework for understanding gravitational interaction. Non-inertial frames. General relativity applies to accelerating frames of reference, unlike special relativity, which is limited to inertial frames. And then you've got the mathematical complexity. General relativity involves complex mathematics, including tensor calculus, to describe the curvature of space-time. Now, the impact on science, it revolutionized astrophysics and cosmology. General relativity has been instrumental in understanding black holes, the expansion of the universe, and the Big Bang theory. It predicted phenomena such as gravitational waves, which were first directly detected in 2015. It took 100 years for relativity's first most important theorem to actually be scientifically tested and proven to this point to be correct. And that confirmed Einstein's predictions and opened up new avenues in astrophysics. It challenged and expanded scientific thought. General relativity challenged existing notions of gravity and motion, leading to new ways of thinking about the universe's structure and behavior. And it's inspired countless experiments and observations to test its predictions, many of which have been confirmed with remarkable precision. So far, no one has proven that general relativity is incorrect. And this is one of the great things about science. No theory in science is ever 100% proven to be correct. And as Einstein famously stated himself, no amount of experiments could ever prove that he was right, prove being the operative word, but one experiment could prove him to be wrong. And this is where science is so good, because it has these tests and balances that have to be put in place. So never accept anything as an absolute in scientific terms, because every single theory or theorem is only as good as the next experiment that is used to test that theory or theorem. General relativity is also used to maintain accuracy in GPS as time runs differently in stronger gravitational fields. And the theory has influenced various fields, including quantum mechanics and theoretical physics, driving research into a unified theory of quantum gravity. We'll be looking at superstrings and other theories of the grand unifying theory. Because here's the problem. Superstrings and the very, very small quantum mechanics works very, very well for lots of different types of applications. And general relativity works exceptionally well for other types of applications. One works on the very, very small. One works on the cosmic scale. There's a gap in between where the two don't seem to be able to work together. There's a piece missing, and that is called, or the search for it is called, in search of the grand unifying theory. We'll come back to that in a later episode. Now, relativity, general relativity, had an impact on the wider world. It had cultural and philosophical influence. It influenced discussions about the nature of reality, time and space, and shaped our understanding of the universe's interconnectedness. It's captured the public imagination, inspiring literature, film, and art that explores the nature of time and space. And the theory has become a fundamental part of physics education, inspiring generations of scientists and enthusiasts to explore the mysteries of the universe. So it redefined our understanding of gravity and the universe, as we've said. It provided a new lens through which to view the cosmos, and its profound implications continue to influence both scientific research and our broader cultural understanding of the world we inhabit. Now, I can't really let this discussion go much further without we start talking about anecdotes and peer reviews. I think it's really well understood that Einstein had an eccentricity about him, and his anecdotes about him always highlight his absent-mindedness and deep focus on theoretical problems. He famously worked out complex equations in his head while walking or playing the violin, and it is said that he came up with his ideas about light being a cosmic limiter and the speed of light being the maximum speed in the universe while he was bored at work looking at a clock. I mean, it's just incredible how his mind worked. Now, that's not to say his ideas were always embraced wholeheartedly at the start. When he first introduced general relativity, it was met with skepticism due to its complex mathematics, and it was a radical departure from Newtonian gravity. However, the 1919 solar eclipse expedition led by Sir Arthur Eddington provided empirical evidence by observing the bending of starlight around the sun, which matched Einstein's predictions. This event brought Einstein international fame and solidified general relativity's acceptance. He worked on both theories, involved collaboration and correspondence with other physicists and mathematicians such as Hendrik, Lorentz, Hermann Minkowski and David Hilbert, who contributed to the mathematical formulations and interpretations. And some of the most famous quotes about relativity, some of them are from Albert himself. The only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. This whimsical quote reflects Einstein's revolutionary ideas about the nature of time in relativity. And my all-time favourite quote from anyone is, "Imagination is more important than knowledge. For knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world, stimulating progress, giving birth to evolution." And that highlights the thinking that led to his groundbreaking theories. And Arthur Eddington, when asked if it was true only three people in the world understood the theory, famously quipped, "Who's the third?" which highlighted the complexity of the theory and the limited understanding at the time. Now, the impact of the world, again, was massive. It had it created a real paradigm shift in scientific paradigms, influencing subsequent developments in physics, cosmology and technology. It laid the groundwork for modern physics and continues to inspire research into the fundamental nature of the universe. And Einstein became a cultural icon. It symbolizing genius, I think, and scientific progress. His theories have permeated popular culture, influencing literature, film and art, and sparking public interest in science and the cosmos. These elements provide a rich tapestry of the historical and cultural significance of Einstein's theories, showcasing, I think, their profound impact on both science and society. So we've explained what relativity is. We've explained how it came about. And we're now going to just spend a couple of minutes talking about why it was such a game changer. The biggest thing, the biggest reason why it changed the way that science was approached and was understood was that it really did mark a significant departure from Newtonian physics in several fundamental ways. It changed the concept of space and time. In Newton's view, space and time are absolute and independent entities. Time flowed uniformly for all observers, and space was a fixed stage where the events happened. But in relativity, Einstein introduced the concept of space-time, where space and time are intertwined and relative to the observer. Time can therefore dilate and distances can contract depending on the relative motion of observers. The speed of light also became much more important. In Newtonian physics, there was no upper limit to speeds. Theoretically, objects could travel at any speed, including faster than light. But in relativity, it's the ultimate speed limit in the universe. No object with mass can reach or exceed this speed. The biggest change was in our understanding of gravity. So Newtonian physics, gravity was seen as a force acting at a distance with an instantaneous effect. But in general relativity, Einstein redefined gravity as the curvature of space-time caused by mass. So objects follow the curved paths in space-time, which we perceive as gravitational attraction. Simultaneity. In Newtonian physics, events that are simultaneous for one observer are simultaneous for all observers. But in relativity, simultaneity is relative. Two events that appear simultaneous to one observer may not be simultaneous to another moving at a different velocity. And the mass energy equivalence is the thing that really kind of changed the game for everyone as soon as people really got to understand what E equals mc squared actually meant. In Newtonian physics, mass and energy were considered distinct entities, but in relativity, Einstein showed that mass and energy are interchangeable, fundamentally linking them. Energy or mass does not disappear, they merely convert to one or the other. And that's where the whole idea about the atomic bomb that started to really come from, the impact of that equation. Now, these departures from Newtonian physics led to a new understanding of the universe, where the effects of high speeds and strong gravitational fields had to be accounted for, especially in astronomical and cosmological contexts. Relativity has been confirmed by numerous experiments and observations, making it a cornerstone of modern physics. I guess, I mean, for the man and woman in the street, what relativity has done for you, apart from provide atomic energy, electricity through atomic reactors, is in what you use in your GPS technology when you take a flight in an aeroplane, whether you get in the car or on a bus or whatever that is following a route laid out by GPS technology. Relativity does all that. It relies on a network of satellites that orbit the Earth, providing positioning, navigation, and timing information to receivers on the ground. But they have to have allowance made for relativity for those pinpoint accuracy and your map to tell you that you're driving down the right road on the right side for them to work. Without relativity, they would be a slight degree or point of a degree off, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're traveling down the motorway, trust me, that's really important, especially when you're flying planes as well, with the amount of aircraft in the sky. You need relativity to make sure that those planes aren't on the same flight path. Nuclear energy, I've just mentioned, and again, that came out of special relativity, and it's fundamental in understanding nuclear reactions, E equals mc squared, that is, which power everything from nuclear plants to the sun's core that gives the energy that we need to survive here on Earth. Its impact on scientific and research and exploration can't be understated. Astrophysics and cosmology has advanced enormously thanks to the theories put forward by general relativity, and it helps in studying phenomena such as black holes, neutron stars, and the expansion of the universe. But also gravitational waves now are more properly understood. Predicted by general relativity, gravitational waves were first detected in 2015. Their discovery opened a new way of observing the universe, allowing scientists to study cosmic events like black hole mergers. And in every other everyday applications, you've got atomic clocks, which are essential for precise timekeeping. They're influenced by relativistic effects, and these clocks are crucial for various technologies, including telecommunications and the internet, which we all use. Beyond GPS, relativity plays a role in improving the accuracy of various navigation systems used in aviation and maritime industries. Basically, the modern world could not really run efficiently if not for relativity and Einstein's brilliance in working out how gravity and light and energy are all intertwined into one huge kind of amorphous ball, where basically everything's entwined and connected to one another. It's space-time, not space and time. That was a very quick run through. I hope you've enjoyed it. You may have to listen to it a couple of times. I'm going to listen to it a couple of times just to... Well, my brain is frying just from going through the notes that I made. So I'm going to listen to my episode a few times anyway, just to get the idea firmly locked into my mind, because I'm developing a fun talk where we'll have some of these graphics and videos put into place to show how these experiments, have been set up to confirm, as far as it's possible to confirm, Einstein's theories are correct. And we're going to be doing two further episodes connected to this kind of series that I started with, the time travel one, or the nature of time, when I actually used Einstein's famous quote, time is nature's way of stopping everything from happening at once, and a few weeks ago. So that started the process. This is the next bit. And then we're going to be looking at E equals MC squared. And we're also going to look at the search for the grand unifying theory, which includes quantum gravity and superstrings and all that kind of... All the various competing ideas that are vying for your attention in unifying quantum mechanics with general relativity. It's a mind-blowing array of different ideas and concepts, but all came from... that guy that wasn't actually very good at mathematics. Don't get me wrong, his mathematics were way in advance of anything I could do, But he wasn't a brilliant mathematician. He just knew how to formulate the equations or the basic ideas and concepts and explain them in ways, in words, that could be converted into complex mathematical equations. But his most famous quote, I think, is still, "Imagination is greater than knowledge." And on that basis, if you want to join me in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum, come and ask me questions. Come and give me your own theories on relativity and its impact on modern life, and what we could see coming up in the future in terms of experiments that verify still further the ideas of relativity, and what applications may be coming in the future, including and in particular those around the idea of space exploration. I just want to hear it all. So come and join me there, and I'll answer the questions and get involved in a discussion with you. Until next week, as I've said, keep asking questions, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye for now.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at @darreninform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.